Good morning.
Thank you, Don, for those song selections. Preston, wonderful comments.
Thank you all for coming. Drive safely. See you next week. If I remember right, I was thanking Don for the song selections and Preston for the wonderful comments on the Lord's Supper. We have some visitors with us. Will and Natasha Johnson, they've been here before a few years ago. And Will is a preacher at the Springfield Gardens Church of Christ in New York. And so we welcome you. And I hope things like this never happen to you. Anyway, but we'd like to welcome everybody and hope God is pleased with our worship so far. We do have an announcement on a little bit more somber note. Ann requested prayers for a cousin of hers, Gregory Walls, who is a minister in Mississippi and was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. He's a non-smoker, and she's requested prayers for him and the family. So before we get into our lesson, let's go together to God and pray for Ann's cousin, Gregory. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you thanking you for all the blessings that you give us. Dear God, we ask that you be with the family of Gregory Walls right now. What a shock. What a startling announcement to find out and diagnosis that you've got lung cancer. Dear God, we ask that you be with him, be with the doctors as they treat him. Hopefully he will be as comfortable as possible. Dear God, we hope that he finds comfort in you and your word. We ask that the family find comfort through you. Dear God, let us be reinforced by situations like this. We're only guaranteed right now. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. We're not even guaranteed later today. Let us take every moment, be thankful, but also use it to glorify you. Again, we pray everything through your son, Jesus. Amen. We're going to look today at what I think is a wonderful example of a study in personalities. Kind of like going back to my high school psychology class, you know, kind of looking at different personality traits and so forth. We can learn an awful lot from Philip the Evangelist and the Apostle Paul. And there is a number of lessons that we're going to hopefully glean from their lives. But let's go ahead and get into the Word. Philip was one of the 7 chosen to serve there early in Acts, in the book of Acts. In Acts 6, starting in verse 1, we see, "Now in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily food distribution." We see that some of the women, the non-Jewish women, the Hellenists, we can kind of think of as the non-Jews, the Greeks, they were being neglected. An oversight. I am assuming it wasn't on purpose because of who they were. But you know what? It can be perceived that way. If you're one of those widows, it might be, well, everybody else is getting the food. We're different than the rest of, why aren't we getting it? And so a situation arose. Then the 12, talking about the 12 apostles, summoned the multitudes of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Not that this was not important. The apostles, they were looking at things from the spiritual importance. Here is something, we could do this, but look at the time it would take to get away from spiritually needed work and effort. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. One thing I would like to point out just briefly. This is basically the beginning of deacons that we see. But one thing we see, a lot of times we have a concept, and this is not a lesson on deacons right now, but a lot of times we have an idea of deacons, just somebody to make sure the lights are turned off or that the door is locked, or somebody that will deposit the contribution or make sure the bathrooms are cleaned. These were holy men. These were spiritually minded, full of the Holy Spirit, good reputations, not just somebody that can lock a door. And they had wisdom. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. Stephen, who was mentioned first, was another one of those 7. He was a worker, worker and servant of God. But he was also very powerful in the word, as we're going to see in Acts when he delivers his famous gospel message that gets him killed. He was bold and became the first Christian martyr. In Acts 7, after he had delivered, it was almost the same message. In many ways, almost the same message that the Apostle Peter delivered on the day of Pentecost. That this Jesus, whom you crucified, was the Lord and Savior. That was the Reader's Digest version of those 2 lessons. And I'm doing a great those lessons great disservice. But they both had the same message. The result in Acts 2, they were cut to the heart. We're studying Acts. And we're in Acts 3 right now in Wednesday night Bible study. And we saw that when they heard Peter's message, they were cut to the heart and they cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? Well, they had a response too. In verse 57, they cried out also. They cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. They had a response too. They heard basically the same message. Two totally different reactions. They killed Stephen for his message. And then continuing right on in Acts 8, starting in verse 1. Now Saul was consenting to his death. That dirty, rotten. He was consenting to his death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. We do not know if Philip was one of those people. I am assuming the closeness, the way they served one of the seven. We know that those seven men were devout men. There is probably a good chance that Philip was one of those that carried dear Stephen to his burial. And it says they made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. We think we have a little persecution here today in our day and age. Being hauled off to prison, being killed, stoned to death. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere, preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. That's what Philip did. Christians are being scattered. We see Philip, he goes to Samaria and he preaches. Amidst all this persecution, the Jews despised the Samaritans. But you know what? Jesus had primed the pump earlier. If you remember in the book of John, where he meets the woman at the well, they were ready to hear the gospel. They were ready. Philip goes and teaches the Samaritans. He preaches to them rather than avoids them. Great, great lesson in character. In Acts 8, verse 12, it says, "But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized." Oh, he's only a deacon. He preaches. He's powerful in the word. And it resulted in both men and women being baptized. Later in the book of Acts, we have probably the most famous account that we remember and talk the most about, Philip with the Ethiopian eunuch, where Philip meets this eunuch on the road, and the eunuch had been studying, and he studies with him. And in verse 35, it says, "Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him." That sums up Philip. He was a good man, a devout man. He took any and every situation to bring it around to Jesus. And after the eunuch was baptized, but Philip was found at Azotus. And passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Jumping way ahead to Acts 21. And this is the scripture, the passage that Kurt read to us earlier. On the next day, we who were Paul's companions. Now, just in case you're unaware of the story, that old mean, dirty, rotten scoundrel, Saul, between being responsible for Stephen being stoned, and now he sees the light. He is converted to Christianity. And that old life is left behind. He is now Paul the Apostle. On the next day, we who were Paul's companions departed and came to Caesarea and entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with him. You've got Philip over here doing his thing. You had old Saul that did his thing, then was converted. And now they're together in Caesarea. Wonder what the emotions of Philip was. He looks at Paul, thinks back to what happened to Stephen. I remember you. You may not have seen me, but I remember you. Don't hear that. Don't see that in the scripture. Does Philip go up to him after everybody greets? He says, looks him right in the eye. Stephen was a good man. And you consented to his death. We don't see that. Hey, Paul, or should I call you Saul? How tough are you without a mob around you? Don't see any of that. Pulls him aside. I'd like to beat the snot out of you, buddy. We don't see that in the scriptures. None of it. Then Philip welcomed Paul as a brother in Christ, even though he consented and was responsible for the death of a dear friend of his, a fellow servant of God. Wonder what the emotions of Paul were. Comes in, looks up, and he sees Philip. Hey, brother, I am so sorry. Before we do anything, I'm sorry. We don't see that. Or can you ever forgive me? He doesn't, as some people do, talk about psychology, they try to minimize something. Try to justify their actions. Well, you know, I did this, but, you know, that was a long time ago. Doesn't try to minimize that. Looks at him. Boy, this is awkward. We don't see any of that in the scripture. Philip gave aid and support to Paul. There was no grudges on either side. No little digs recorded. We see forgiveness in Philip and repentance in Paul. Paul didn't live a life still as Saul. We see repentance in him. And they both preached Jesus. And we as people generically, not us, we get upset because somebody maybe forgot our birthday. Somebody didn't respond to us when we said hi in the way that we think they should have. I don't know if I've ever had anybody responsible for the death of a dear friend of mine like this. What a great study in Christian character. How Paul and Philip overcame a kind of an unlikely pairing. Who would have ever thought? Who would have ever thought back in Acts 7 when Stephen was getting stoned? Who would have ever thought that someday one of those other deacons would actually support and give aid to the guy over there holding the coats? Stranger things have happened. And they preached Jesus. As we go into this new week, if there's any slights that have been done to you by somebody, remember Philip. If you were guilty of things, remember Paul. Repent. Don't continue another day as that old Saul guy. Be the Christian that's repenting. If you need prayers of our congregation, if you have been visiting other congregations and have decided you'd like to worship and work here at South Valley with us, let it be known. Join in worship with us. You're not joining the church. You were added to the church when you were baptized. You're added by the Lord. But if you would like to worship here, let us know. If you need prayers, if you've been studying, if you're not baptized, and if you've been studying and realized, like the Ethiopian eunuch, that you need to be baptized, there's water. I think there's water. Preston's are still watering? Okay. I'm not tall enough to see over it. Preston says there's still water in it. There's water. What prevents me from being baptized? Whatever your need. If you would come forward as Don leads us in the invitation song, we'll address. One more thing, I'm sorry. Brother Will and Sister Natasha are staying on Las Vegas Boulevard. They took an Uber here. I know we got people going every direction. If you're willing to give them a ride home or ride back to their hotel, I'm sure they would appreciate it. They are sitting right over here. I'll let people go in that direction, get with them. If you don't, let me know. We'll do it. But anyway, let's stand and sing.